Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, with me is my partner in crime and co-host, Rob Langevin. Say hello to the folks there, Rob.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, folks at home. Great to be with you guys once again on this truncated scheduling of Premier League games that we're bringing to you, that we're squeezing into our lives. Me and Kevin are giving up all the charitable deeds that we're usually doing during the week and coming to you live and direct. Well, not live and direct, because if it was live, then we'd be live, but you're listening to it wherever you may be, on the train, on the toilet, wherever. But glad to be here. Thanks for coming. We're going to have some dynamite knowledge of FPL goodies for you, so stick around.
Yeah, opening up with a very serious question. Are you pro, meh, or anti-eggnog?
Meh. I can live without it.
Okay, fair enough. Also, if people at home think I sound like a crazy person, I did my best to lop off my finger last Friday, and I'm on so much painkiller. It'll be an adventure.
And funny to say that I did not cause any bodily harm to myself, and I, too, am on a ton of painkillers.
You're just looking for a rip-roaring good time. Which, segue, we've basically had in fantasy of late. There are so many talking points that have been floating around recently. We'll lead off with what happened in today's match. We're recording this, of course, on the Tuesday. We've just seen Adam Lallana score again. And my question for you is, I know, well, when I texted you earlier today, I said I wanted to talk about him potentially being a must-own, and you said, well, you have to have at least one Liverpool midfielder. My question for you, though, is, based on price, should it not be Lallana? And if not, do you not view having more funds as important as... Nope, I lost where I was going with that thought already. An inauspicious start. Do you think that Lallana's a must-own?
Yes. Based on his price point, yes. Because, like I said, I'm backing up my statement. I just didn't give you a clear-cut name of what Liverpool, you know, midfielder you need to own, whether it be Firmino, Coutinho, Mane. You can't really own Mane right now because he's leaving in 2 weeks. But yeah, Lallana, based on price point, based on what he's done, what he's doing, the kind words of encouragement and, you know, just general liking that Klopp has for him, makes him a must own for me right now. I own him, so I'm going to back that you should own him. I got an interesting stat for you. Adam Lallana pre Jurgen Klopp, 31 games, had 5 goals and 3 assists. Since Klopp has taken over, he's played 42 games. He's got 11 goals and 12 assists in the games that Klopp has taken over. So, I mean, people who are into statistics, that screams a lot of goodness. You know, he's in the, you know, the perfect roster lineup now on the official game, because he's got that little star next to him. He's the cheapest inclusionary midfielder there. So, yeah, I mean, from that standpoint, he's doing good things. He's in a position, he didn't even play a whole game today, so you can almost guarantee he's going to play again, because he came out in the 60-something minute, I believe, right around 70th minute. You know, like you said, he got the goal. So, I mean, from this point on, I was on the Mane train maybe 6 weeks ago. I said that he was the guy to own. You know, Firmino did score again today. You know, scored today for the first time in 6 games.
Kinda.
It went dink, dink, and in. You know, but it counts. From a fan perspective, people are just going to see that and see that stat line that he did score. So I think some of the love is still going to go back onto Firmino. But Lallana right now is the own in the Liverpool defense. You know, his price point is 7.3. 7.4. It's going to go up again tonight, probably, most likely. He's scheduled to go up. He's owned in 18.8% of leagues. So there is, you know, the growing capacity for everyone in the premier is in the official game is to own him. So, I mean, people are going to jump on him. He does have 98 points. So, you know, he's in the top five in scoring in midfielders. I mean, so yes, he is a must own.
Okay. Well, then with that in mind, we're going to segue into other big news this week, which is Sergio Aguero is back. So I could either upgrade to get Aguero back in or upgrade my entirely useless Leroy Fair. Sorry to everyone at home for me thinking that was going to count right when he started scoring goals. Bob Bradley decided to stop playing him. So basically, should I upgrade to get Aguero back in this week, or should I upgrade Fair and use that Aguero money to bring in Lallana, knowing that it will then take at least three moves to get Aguero back in?
Well, I mean, you're not. I know me and you both have, you know, different approaches with minuses. I don't mind taking a minus because, you know, if the person you bring in scores that points, you're basically breaking even. But then you're moving forward. You have those that point accumulation to go for. So I am all for the Lallana move, but I also when there's big names like the Agüeros, like the Costa sitting out there, like the people who didn't bring in Ibrahimovic, me. These are the kind of moves, like the big name moves, that I could see you taking a minus for because their point return is going to be better than saying, all right, I'm going to bring in a punt midfielder and someone else at a minus four. The big names are where you want to make the minus fours. I'm a big proponent of taking a minus anyway. I'm not telling you to do it or anybody else at home. If you don't feel comfortable doing it, don't do it. But you know, there are other needs on people's teams, and I understand that sometimes they have to take a minus. But this is the time when, with names such as Aguero and Costa coming back and Ibrahimovic being in such good form, and some people, not everybody owning him, I know he's owned in 50% of leagues currently, but you know, there are some ownership that don't own him. So, I mean, my personal thing was I would probably opt off of Leroy Fair and upgrade to Lallana, use that money and accumulate your funds to go up to either grab a Costa or Aguero later, depending on who you want to go to.
Yeah. Absolutely fair there. Are you going to be trying to bring in Costa or Aguero this week?
I have already brought in Costa already. And for those at home that are worried that they have to get him in at any moment, Costa's price is locked and he will not go up.
Yeah, I think Aguero's is as well. So you do have time to figure this out in this crazy match week where we're already 2 days into it, but there's still the Tottenham match to come tomorrow. Or today, as you're listening to this.
Now I want to segue that question you just asked me about, you know, because we did touch on the high priced forwards. I know it's probably a physical impossibility, and I pretty much know it's a physical impossibility that you can't own Costa, Ibrahimovic, and Aguero. I think that takes up way too much of your front line. But Kevin, moving forward, which two are you rostering from here on out, or which two would you advise people to look in that direction to?
I honestly feel like Ibrahimovic is more of a form player, but their matches are really kind coming up. Borough and West Ham in their next two, so those are the matches that will be covered by this show. Both fairly nice. Liverpool's defense you aren't really scared of. Stoke have been conceding more of late, and Hull, well, you guys know about Hull. So in the interim, I think I'm probably going to go just Zlatan, because like I said, I think I am going to do that Lallana move instead. I'd probably go Zlatan and Aguero for now, because Chelsea do have Tottenham coming up. I think there's another tough defense they face sometime soon. Nope, basically just Tottenham until Arsenal in February. I think Zlatan is basically a must-own right now because of form and fixtures, but I think Costa and Aguero have a lot more staying power.
Yeah, I agree. I think Costa and Ibrahimovic right now are the guys that you should be looking at. And once they sour or you sour on them, I think the move to Aguero is the play, because you know everybody wants to own Aguero. I think he makes he's big, basically like the FPL, the official games hood ornament, because of what he can do and when he's done it. But you know, even when he's done it this year, it's been sparse. So I mean, I'd go with the more informed players in Costa and Ibrahimovic right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. There have not been too many price changes, but do you want to run through them real quick?
Sure. I mean, most of these are probably going to be speculative, and they're going to go up. These guys are basically going to speculate it to go up. Lallana is expected to go up. Zlatan is going to go up. Pogba is going to go up. Who else? Lukaku was expected to go up because of his goal. I don't know what people are thinking. And they don't listen to us. Yes. Well, that's true. You know, Winston Reid on defense, Gary Cahill, David Luiz. I think people are the Chelsea duo are the other two on defense there. People are moving away from the Alonso's and the Azpilicueta's looking for a little differential. Paul Pogba has gone up, which brings to an interesting thing, Kevin, because we knew we wanted to weave Paul Pogba into this podcast in some way. Are you a buyer or a believer in him basically playing like that false 10 role and being a playmaker there with Mkhitaryan playing and hopefully getting into shape and form and being a fantasy player there?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Manchester United are in really, really good form right now. It's not just Zlatan. The whole team around them is really going at the moment. And because of his engine, you'd expect him to not really miss out on any of these minutes. I've loved him in other formats earlier this season. Drafted him in one of my Toggle leagues, have him in a couple DFS teams this week, which was helpful. He's taking a lot of shots right now, which you really like. And as you mentioned, he is playing a lot further forward. In FPL, it's a little more question marky, that 8.3 price. I mean, you know, then you're kind of in that Ericsson, Sterling, you know, a little bit further down, Lallana, who we just mentioned. You have Sigurdsson. You have all those guys kind of around that price point. Is he up there? I'm still a little cautious, but, I mean, for that price, you have to like it. Firmino's in around that price as well, although both of us have cooled on him.
Yeah.
Pretty rampantly. But we said at the beginning of the season that it would be really interesting once we saw his price start to drop. We thought he came in probably a little too high in price to really be valuable. He came in at 8.5. He dropped down to 8.2 for a little bit, now up at 8.3. You know what? If I had lots of moves left, maybe. But, you know, Lallana sitting there at a cheaper price is very interesting. But, oh, how about this? How about this caveat? If you're a United fan, feel free to bring in Pogba. Mm-hmm. He is actively not a detriment to your team. He will be a benefit to your team. I just think there's probably better values out there. But you can't deny what he's done. 26 points in his last 5 weeks. And as I mentioned with Ibra, they have four very winnable matches on the horizon there. So, yeah, he is perfectly ownable and viable. I probably am not buying him personally in this format. But his price in DFS continues to be reasonable. And in Toggle Leagues, obviously, his draft day value was insane. But in this, he's definitely ownable. I'd probably still go with Lallana. I probably would have gone Walcott had he not randomly just missed. Sterling is looking a little bit better since winning his spot back. He's only a victim of people being a little bit better value, not because he's performing poorly or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm going to be honest, I can't wait to see the transferred in rate of Mkhitaryan this week after basically people witnessed his goal, the back heel thing. Kick. Yeah, and
which he was definitely offside for, but that's fine.
Well, he was offside. You know, at his price at 8.9, and you know, I'm just looking at it right now because I have the info in front of me. 16,000 people have already brought in Mkhitaryan for 8.9. I'd be interested to see what that move entails. Who they're dropping there? Maybe it's an Ericsson, you know, maybe it's, you know, a downshift from someone else, maybe a Sanchez. I don't know. But 8.9 is a healthy number for a midfielder, especially with other cheaper options that are performing.
That's like Mane.
You know, Mane. Yeah, that's a good one. There's the title of the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. You know, but from somebody who's basically played, you know, 150, he's played 210 minutes in the last month and last 6 weeks. You know, I don't know if I trust at an 8.9 rate for United, regardless of what their fixtures are. You know, they do have Middlesbrough, West Ham, Liverpool, Stoke in their next four. But, you know, this game is all about price tags. And at 8.9, I think you could find better value through the midfield.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Were there any other pricey guys?
Yeah, price downs. These are all expected. They're not like confirmed yet because there really hasn't been a high transfer rate, and there's only been one day for people to transfer people in. But expected to go down: Theo Walcott, Harry Kane, Loris Karius, and Ian. Jermaine Defoe and Kelechi Iheanacho, who came on again as a sub and scored. He has the greatest goals per minute rate of any Premier League striker in the history of the Premier League, but yet he can't start a game.
Yeah. Oh well, fantasy be weird. That's
it is. Pep likes to ruin stuff.
He's the worst. Also, it was so the second Iheanacho came on, City looked like immediately better.
Yeah, because he creates the avenues. You know,
it's almost like having a forward is helpful.
It's crazy to think that they would actually create a named position and actually have one on the pitch,
yeah.
And then they can actually do what he's supposed to do, and then actually they do what they're supposed to do as a team. It's crazy. This got to be. We should write a soccer book because this is the first time I've ever heard of such.
We actually invented the forward position. I don't know if you guys know that at home. That's actually a claim to fame. I did go Origi back when that was the decision, and feel much better about that. Although, really wish he'd score more goals. The assist today, saw some people saying it was a great assist. It was really not that great a ball. Probably somebody should have stepped in front of that. But still just the one blank in the last six matches, which you have to like there. Although Sturridge scoring today, and knowing that they have to rotate soon, and knowing that they probably need to, you know, keep Sturridge's attitude up. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if Sturridge gets the start this week.
Eventually.
Or even this week.
It'd be, he may, but you know, Origi got an assist on an own goal, so let's temper expectations.
Well,
there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is he didn't exactly cover himself in glory today, although he was running the channels well. But then Sturridge scoring immediately. If Klopp wanted a reason to put Sturridge in a game, he has it. He has the excuse of rotation and the excuse of form. So
I think the time from a fantasy perspective, if you're going to gamble on a Daniel Sturridge, is the first game that Sadio Mane is at AFCON.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to gamble and bring him in.
Yeah, they could run like a 4-4-2 diamond like they did under Baraji back in the day.
You know, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. Do I completely see it happening? No. But if you're a gambler and you like to gamble and Liverpool does produce good fantasy numbers, the first week that Mane is at AFCON is the week that I would say, I guarantee that other people are going to jump on this when in 3 weeks when this happens. You know, when AFCON comes and people start speculating, you know, who's going to play where. I guarantee Sturridge is on the minds of a lot of people that week saying, you know, especially if he comes in like he did today or starts one of these next two quick games, you know, and he produces, you know, then it's going to come to a point where, well, why isn't Daniel Sturridge in there? He's probably one of their best scoring options. And, you know, and then Mane's taken away from the equation and there you go.
Yeah, I agree. There are some tough fixtures in there, but it will definitely be interesting to see how they deal with all of that. Are you ready to take a quick break?
Absolutely.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, man, that was so relaxing. Stretched out, got a little mani-pedi action going on. Just a clear coat, you know, nothing too colorful. But, you know, sometimes you got to pamper yourself.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, I usually go to the spa once a month, get those little fish to eat off your dry skin on your feet.
You know, it's crap, what are those called?
Fish. there's some kind of, they look kind of like koi goldfish kind of looking things.
Now I got to look it up, man. We're throwing painkillers on top of my natural lady HD. Now I just have to know.
They're cannibal goldfish. Wait,
really?
No.
Oh. See? This is what I was talking about, folks. It's in a weird place right now. The Gara rufa, also called the doctor fish, or the nibble fish, or the bone fish in New England, is when...
Nice.
They forage the slough off dead skin. They look for food, which in the wild consists of a word I'm not going to attempt to say. Huh. Interesting. Who? Yeah, the Gara Rufa fish. 15 to 30 minutes, for those wondering how to apply them. anyway, we will go into start sits now. We haven't had a whole lot of time to prep because we just had a match going on. But up front, I think I like Andre Gray this week. Just scored, coming back from suspension, which was awful. We had a whole part of a show about that. But going up against Sunderland's defense, they just got undone pretty helpfully. And while they have looked better as a team, they still seem pretty susceptible at the back. Although, as I said, they've looked better. Jilabogi hasn't looked as useless. Was it him that slipped yesterday? That gave away that Ibrahimovic goal? I don't remember. But anyway, I think Andre Gray is definitely of note. He's a cheap guy. Somebody that a lot of people were high on early in the season. Obviously lost a lot of the season due to the suspension. I think he's flying under a lot of people's radars. Really should have looked up his ownership before I started talking about this. I bet it's under 5. Oh man, this is great radio. Yeah, you're welcome, everybody listening at home. This is the best. 2.8% owned. And he's at 6.1. If you're on an Origi or a Nihan Nacho and you're looking to get out, or if you're looking to have a super low price guy to balance with your fifth midfielder so that you can get that money to get Aguero back in, I think Andre Gray is definitely an interesting option. And Burnley themselves have looked a lot better of late. They do have City in the second part of what I'm going to call a doubleheader, but City's defense has not been very impressive anyway. So I wouldn't necessarily be afraid of that, really. Also, I would have liked Callum Wilson, except sometimes he randomly doesn't start. So, but you know, he gets to play Swansea, which is always nice. And then Lukaku, who we already mentioned. I know none of us trust him, but it's Hull, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if there's a week.
Yeah, it's this week.
Right.
Which is leading him to being transferred in so much.
But then, next week he has Southampton, who have a top three defense. So, like, daily formats, I'm all for Lukaku this week. But
it's not like Lukaku is cheap either. He's 9.4. He's in a top six of pricey forwards. So it's not like he's like, oh, yeah, I'll go to the dollar bin and get a Romelu Lukaku.
Right. Yeah, especially for, like, a one-week loan, especially when it's the week that Aguero and Costa are coming back. Yeah, maybe not the long-term move to make, but like I said, just for this week, which I guess is the intent of this segment, then you gotta like him for this very brief period. Who else we got? In midfield, it's interesting because we haven't seen Spurs play yet, but Watford have been really, really poor defensively. Where are they? They're down to 13th now. And, you know, we expected a lot more of them defensively. I think they were top 10 in defense last season. In their first year up, so I think we kind of expected that. Now it's kind of Middlesbrough, or that low-level team that continually puts in good defensive performances, although not really keeping the clean sheets that many would like, having just lost to Burnley. Anyway, so I don't know. I would have liked the Spurs midfielders, especially if Son doesn't play tomorrow, because I would think that would mean that he'll be up front, although I said that during the last triple match thing, but they just kept playing Kane. But having seen how ineffective Kane was, you gotta imagine they go a different way. Although of note is that Jansen did just return to training this week, but I think the Watford match will probably be too soon for him, especially considering Tottenham have one of the last matches in this first match week that we're still somehow in. I think that'd be interesting. What I wanted to talk to you about was, I know we just talked about Lallana as a must own. Raheem Sterling doing very well since returning to the starting squad in his own right. 1 goal, 3 assists since he returned to starting. You're not really scared of Liverpool's defense either. How do you think this match is going to play out? Because obviously there's going to be a lot of owned guys in this one.
Yeah, I mentioned last podcast that Raheem Sterling's basically becoming like a differential sort of based on his ownership and the amount of people that have basically, you know, gone away from him. You know, his price 7.6, he's owned in 9% of leagues. You know, he's got decent enough return. He's sitting on 80 points for the season. He's got, you know, a goal or an assist in the last three games. You know, he's got 6, 9, and 9 in his last three. So, I mean, that's a decent return. And there's not a, you know, Arsenal wasn't mixed into that game. So he got a goal against Arsenal. I mean, Liverpool's defense is not, you know, top by any stretch of the imagination. I could see this game having goals. I'm almost hesitant to say it's going to be a goal fest, like a 5-4, you know, maybe like a 2-2, something like that, 3-2 max. But he's going to be involved in some way. I think with Aguero being on the pitch, Aguero's going to draw the extra attention. And Liverpool's defense, you know, I mean, are you really scared that, you know, Dejan Lovren is going to take away Aguero, and then, you know, Clavin is going to take away another, is Kevin going to take away De Bruyne? You know, that basically leaves, you know, Raheem Sterling on the wing and to take advantage. I think Raheem Sterling, if you're going to look at a target in this game, is probably somebody that I would probably zero in on, only because of his form and because of how shaky Liverpool's defense is. You know, everybody's looking at De Bruyne. Everybody is going to try to get back on the Aguero wagon. But, you know, it's not a bad option when Raheem Sterling at his price point could be your focal point there.
Yep, definitely agree there. As for defenses I like, Everton are kind of on the up and up. I meant to get rid of Coleman like a while ago, but he had a goal 2 weeks ago. Now he has the clean sheet this week. Already mentioned they're going up against Hull, who have the worst attack, but no longer have the worst defense. Hey, it's Swansea again.
Congratulations.
They just love trading that back. Congratulations, Hull, you're not the worst. Except... in the table. But hey, in this thing. but yeah, so Coleman, I'm weirdly okay with Everton this week. He's definitely going to start. And Hull and Southampton on deck, neither of them really scare you. Do like Tottenham against that Watford side. Other than that, you know, West Brom Southampton seems interesting, but it seems like one of those matches where they're both going to let one in and just ruin everyone's day, which West Brom did to form, by the way. Got everyone's hopes up with what looked like a clean sheet against Arsenal. Then, of course, Giroud scores late. Oh, hey, that was another thing I meant to talk to you about. Giroud, question mark?
Yeah.
Or do you think it was just rotation?
I think it'll be a rotation. I don't think he'll play right back-to-back. If he's going to play another game, it'd be the secondary game after New Year's.
Oh, and then also the super obvious one, Manchester United against the team that creates the fewest chances in the Premier League in Middlesbrough. Yeah. I think that's going to look good. And it looks like Phil Jones has retained a spot, which is definitely interesting. As a 4-8, although he may have gone up since I brought him in. 4-9.
To get
into that Manchester United defense is great. Obviously, you wanted them to keep the clean sheet against Sunderland, and they probably should have. But it was a really nice finish from, I think it was Barini. But anyway, yeah, I think they're going to have a nice one. Also, you know, I'm not even going to mention the Chelsea guys, because of course.
Yeah. Natch.
Of course. Who you got?
I'll start on defense. I mentioned this to Kevin probably, I don't know, maybe about 2 hours ago, to take a look at a random team's upcoming fixtures, and that team is Southampton. So I'm starting on defense with Southampton. Their upcoming fixtures, don't count tomorrow's because that's already in the books. They play Spurs tomorrow. But following the Spurs game, they play West Brom at home, Everton away, Burnley away, Leicester at home. Leicester is awful anywhere now. They don't even play well at, you know,
on the,
they
I was play doing awful. Some stats worse on the today. Road. Leicester picked up 9 points since September.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, it's so bad.
So after Leicester, they play Swansea, West Ham, Sunderland. Their toughest matchup is probably Arsenal. And then after that, they play Watford. That basically takes you to March. Yeah. So listen, I'm not a fortune teller. I can't tell you that Southampton is going to be great defensively in this. But guess what? Look at Southampton's defense already, and you're going to tell me that they're going to get worse? Yeah, I can say that, you know, the January transfer window may, you know, deplete some of their funds. There's rumors going around that Virgil van Dijk is going to be bought and sold and do whatever. Until I see it, I'm telling you this upcoming week in week 19 to grab a Southampton defender. I don't care who it is. It could be, go for a differential.
Would
go for Ryan Burke.
Even Cedric? Considering his propensity to just randomly not play.
No. If you're looking for a secondary price defender, go look at Ryan Bertrand, owned in 1.3 leagues. Go look at Jose Font at 5.5, owned in 5.3% of leagues. But you definitely need to own a Southampton defender. Not, it doesn't have to be this week. You may have more pressing needs. You know, there are a lot of people own Jordan Pickford, and now he's looking like he's an if. Maybe for this weekend, if you don't have a secondary keeper there, because I know a lot of people were rolling the Jakubovic Pickford, you know, duo of doom and goal. So be careful that Jordan Pickford did pick up a knee injury this past week, and he may not feature this weekend. against Burnley. So that's troublesome if you have to make a transfer there. But I'm telling you, in the near future, in the next two weeks, I'd say bring in a Southampton defender that you feel comfortable with. They're all that secondary price range, 5.7 to, you know, if you can get lucky and score when Cuco Martina plays at 4.3, there's somebody that you want to own. Through the midfield, Kevin, do you see Christian Benteke's penalty kick?
Oh my gosh.
I thought he hit the wrong button playing FIFA 17 and he passed it to the goalie.
To be fair, penalties are hard in FIFA 17. Maybe it's true.
They are. They are a little bit more difficult. But my tout for a midfielder this week is the guy who I think that is going to take over the penalty kick duties there, and that's Johan Cabaye. Johan Cabaye has been basically passed over 1,000 times this year. His price has gone down and then up once and then just completely bottomed out. He's currently at 5.6, owned in 1.1% of leagues. He just got a goal this past weekend. And like I said, you know, James Milner's owned a ton everywhere because he takes the penalty kicks for Liverpool. So why not Johan Cabaye at cheaper than, you know, James Milner? That's just my thing. If he's taking penalty kicks, sure, he can get a tout there. We all love the Snodgrasses and the other players like that. So why not Cabaye? That is what I'm saying. You know, their upcoming fixtures, you know, they're not great. You know, they have Arsenal, Swansea, West Ham, Everton, Bournemouth, Sunderland, Stoke. So actually, if you think about it, they're actually pretty good. It's just that we don't know how well people are going to play in Big Sam's offense. That's the thing. So be leery of that. Also, people I like, basically any Bournemouth midfielder. If you could find one that you like more than others or somebody that attracts your eye, pick it. They're going against a rudderless ship in Swansea this week, and they are just going to demolish and steamroll Swansea. If you thought Swansea,
Bob Bradley. We were going to talk about
exactly.
That.
Yeah, we totally forgot about it. I'm mentioning it now. If you thought Swansea looked bad now, imagine them without someone telling them what to do. You may have thought that's what they were doing already, but it's going to get worse. So anybody on Bournemouth on the road against Swansea, if you feel like being a little bit of a differential, there's tons of differential there. I'm all for Bournemouth midfielders and forwards this week. It's just tough because they do have a little rotation system going there, so it's tough to key on one guy. For forwards this week, listen, if you roll three forwards, you're a better thinker than me, but your two of your strikers have to be Ibrahimovic, Costa, and Aguero. After that, I could care less who you roster or who you have because you're basically banking on those two giving you the goods every week. You know, there isn't a third option there that I would recommend because you're basically going to pick two of those options because I don't think you can afford three and still field a competitive team. All three of those guys are spot on their money right now. Ibra's probably the most informed player in the Premier. Costa's coming back from the suspension, and you know they have a tasty matchup against Stoke, who just gave up 4 to Liverpool. And then, of course, the damned if you do, damned if you don't. Aguero is coming back from his suspension, and you know people are just going to jump all over that. That's I'm curious because I didn't actually look before we started the podcast. I wanted to see what his transfer rate in was.
Yeah, he's been brought in. He's down to like 12.8 though.
Yeah, he's been brought in 17,000 times already. Yeah. So that's in a day and a half.
Do you want to know a couple crazy things though?
Sure.
He's still fourth in goals and second in shots on target, despite having missed 7 starts this year.
Yeah. He's like I said, he's hit. He's complete hit or miss. He's like Chris Carter of the Milwaukee, the ex guy of the Milwaukee Brewers. He's a home run or nothing kind of guy. But you know, at his price points, 12.8, and people having to flip a coin between him and Costa. Costa is the guy I think a lot of people are going to go with. And you know, the transfer numbers show it this week. Costa is the most transferred in player. So you know, 12.8 is a tough pill to swallow this late in the season. If you've had him the whole time, yeah, it's easier to say, you know, all right, fine, Aguero's 12.8. But trying to squeeze him in and deduct two things, there's no way you're making one direct move and getting Aguero in. I don't think. So moving on.
Do you
on,
not think anybody held on?
No, I don't think they did. At having 12 million on your bench.
Okay, any active teams.
I'm sure there's people that did. But yeah, it's tough. That's tough to have 12% of your roster on the bench. That's awfully tough. So we'll jump right into my sits. Forward sit for me. I know this is premature and I know they play tomorrow, but Harry Kane is my sit against Watford on the road. If he does something tomorrow, just go back and fast forward through this part of the podcast and say I didn't say it. Through the midfield, anybody on Swansea? Remember what I said about Bournemouth? Anybody Swansea midfielders? I know they're not really, really owned. And then even – except for Gylfi Sigurdsson. And I'm not even confident that Gylfi Sigurdsson is going to do anything there. And I don't think he's long for Swansea now that they changed managers again. I could see – what do you think about that, Kev? Do you think Sigurdsson is pretty much a goner there now?
That's interesting. I feel like he may actually be one of those players that cares enough that he may try to keep them up and then leave in the summer regardless.
Okay.
But, I mean, people will definitely sniff around him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that his ownership right now in the official game is not high, and it's not low.
He had like those 3 to 4 matches where it was like, oh, yeah, here comes the Sigurdsson time. And the team around him is just not – it's just not good enough. It's just not –
I mean, he's owned in 10% of leagues, price 7.5. Anybody on Swansea is tough to own right now. I can't see owning anybody. You know, throw Fernando Llorente in there as your cheap third forward. I wouldn't own anybody. There's zero intrigue to me from being a Swansea player. I think they're just going to get steamrolled for the next couple until they either bring in a sacrificial lamb manager or they smarten up and get a guy who's on the up, you know, and give them maybe his first managerial gig. You know, like Ryan Giggs, maybe. I'm just throwing that out there. It could be a possibility.
Oh, man, that would be awful. That's a really, really bad idea.
Yeah.
I only saw Pardew. I saw a Harry Redknapp shout.
I mean, oh, dear.
Oh, man.
Hey, why not just bring in the guy that follows Bob Bradley around? Just do that. You know, bring in Jurgen Klinsmann. You know, he followed Bradley at Team USA.
You
and
know
now
what?
He's following him at Swansea.
That's legitimately not the worst idea.
No, it's not. It's been kicked around. I saw the betting odds for it. I think he's like third or fourth.
I hadn't seen that. I do know that Giggs is the shortest odds, which is the worst idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's still Giggsy. He's got a name and a drawing power, but you know, I don't think it's the time to.
Yeah.
I don't know who they're going to bring in. I'm not that much of a Swans supporter. I don't know. On defense, I told you to buy him last week because I like their fixtures, but. They just don't do enough for me offensively to keep their defense in the game. That's Middlesbrough.
Mm-hmm. Fewest chances created in the Premier League.
I completely admit my wrongings there and saying maybe – I know their price points are nice and they give you some good defensive return because they do like to get involved, the Barragans and they do get involved in the buildup. So that from that standpoint, they're basically like, you know, Charlie Daniels light, I'll say. Mm. But going against United right now at home, United's at home, so yeah, I'm fearing the worst here for a Borough team that just for me they just don't do enough offensively to keep their defense, you know, involved in the defending part of the game.
Yeah. For me, I guess I'll start off with the question: do you think Origi should still be owned?
Given his price point. It's a possibility, yes.
Okay. I'm kind of questioning it because, listen, I don't think Manchester City are really anything to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we got lucky this week. There weren't too many crazy missing players, but that was because there were largely 7 to 8 days of rest for teams. We're about to see some super tiny gaps. It's like City play twice in 48 hours. Or, no. What was that? That can't be true.
They play. It's like 60 hours, but
okay, yeah.
They play a
hilariously short period of time, especially for an aging squad like City. So my point is, we are about to hit that crazy rotation window, and for me, I'm honestly worried that Origi will not play. I think if I was Klopp, I would play Sturridge. So the question is it worth holding on to somebody that you think will not play, right? Because you can't afford to have those zeros on the board.
As long as you have enough subs and you can bury him enough, like not make him your first sub, but maybe make him your second sub.
Mm.
Because the only bad thing about it, that is,
you know,
there's no way that Sturridge is playing a full 90.
True.
And Origi is definitely going to come on. So,
yeah.
You know, even the rotation standpoint, you're kind of screwing yourself because, all right, you're planning that Origi's not going to play, so you put him on your bench, but then he gets subbed in, and then he becomes a playable option off your bench because he's a sub because someone else gets, you know, subbed out, you know, doesn't play. So from that standpoint, it's kind of eh. So from that standpoint, I could see just not owning him and not being involved in that part of the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but looking at the forward, you know, pricing, You know, look at the names at the top. It's Aguero, Ibrahimovic, Kane, Costa, right? Yeah. And then basically it's empty until you get down to like the cheap guys in ownership. You have the Negredos, you have the Rondons, and then you have the Origis down like below 7.0.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's nothing appealing in between, maybe besides a Christian Benteke if you want to believe in a Christian Benteke, but after that penalty kick, no, absolutely not. But there's just nothing in there. There's like a void for 20 forwards in price, you know, Vardy, Rooney, Giroud, Batshuayi, Slimani, Perez, Defoe, Jansen, Welbeck, yeah. Boney, Musa, Agalu. Those are all the guys until you get to Origi after the big five.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty depleted. So basically, I mean, your options are at forward are probably take two of the big three, Aguero, Ibra, Costa, and punt the third. Don't even play him and build your midfield to have a sustainable fourth or fifth and then have a rotational fourth defender that you rotate in with your midfielder that has a better clean sheet possibility than a scoring possibility for your midfield.
Mm. Yeah. Agree with you there. Other forwards. I'm a little bit torn on Benteke because Arsenal just can't keep clean sheets. I know that they just got one against West Brom, but on the whole, they've been so poor. And if I asked you, what Crystal Palace player is most likely to score? The answer is still
Benteke.
Yeah, which is super frustrating. Benteke would be one of the pieces I'd have to move out if I was going to try to get Aguero in. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull that off this week. I don't like him. To be fair, but
I don't like you, sir. I don't like you. I don't like your face. I don't like your smell and your stench. And your penalty kicking capabilities.
I don't like that his full name is on his nameplate on the site. I still don't understand why that's there. I realize his brother is there, but you couldn't just hit us with a C.Benteke at all. Like Robin V. Percy, you couldn't manage that.
I wonder. You know why I wonder about that?
Mm.
I wonder if it's because Christian is a religion and you can't abbreviate it.
Oh, because
and don't forget, there also is another Benteke on Crystal Palace.
That's what I was saying. But you could do C. Benteke and J. Benteke. Didn't the other Benteke get hurt?
Yeah. Well, Christ, I got hurt watching that penalty kick. So, I'm, but it. What do you think?
It's strained credulity.
You know, I don't actually know the reason for that, but I just threw a legitimate reason out there. Maybe they don't want to insult Christians.
Maybe there's something to that, but also maybe. All right, for midfield, I love him, and this is just a sit. Don't get rid of him because he gets to play Hull next week. But Matty Phillips up against Southampton, we all know how good their defense is. And I just don't want any part of that. There is some thought that, you know, maybe Tottenham wear out Southampton's defense, and kind of like the Benteke thing, I still think Matt Phillips is probably the best own at West Brom, but Southampton are one of the few teams with the wingbacks to really deal with him. You mm-hmm. already mentioned Bertrand a bit earlier. I just don't think he's going to do much this week, but obviously play him against Hull. Maybe don't play him against Spurs. Definitely play him against Sunderland. Definitely play him against Middlesbrough, then Stoke, West Ham, Bournemouth, Palace. They have a really nice run there through March. But over these next four, wax off, wax on, wax off, wax on. And then you should be just fine. As for defenses that I'm not really a big fan of this week, Stoke looked like they were getting better. I know that Liverpool can just show up and overturn teams, but man, they looked bad. Peters does, show up with the mitigating assist to make him look somewhat ownable still, but you don't like that. Middlesbrough defense I've been talking about a lot lately, but Manchester United just look kind of rampant at the moment. West Brom's defense can't keep a clean sheet for their entire life, and none of them do anything of note, really. And like I said, I don't like either side of Arsenal Palace. I think both teams score. I realize that a lot of people are probably jumping on the Arsenal bandwagon right now, but it's going to take a lot more than one clean sheet against West Brom to convince me that they're trustworthy again in FPL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
Cool. What moves are you making?
I've already made a move. I brought in Costa for Benteke. I'm waiting.
And that was the Aguero money, right? That's what you were waiting on?
Well, yeah. I still have money saved up, but I made a secondary move because I believe my own hype when I was talking myself out of stuff before. I think I'm moving away from the Spurs players and Erickson and Kane. Kane will be my next one out next week. I just don't feel like taking a -8. I've already taken a -4. I've dropped Erickson and brought in Johan Kabay this week only because his price. And I think when Zaha goes to AFCON, I think that he could possibly, you know, fill in there with a little scoring role. And since, you know, what we saw from Benteke taking PKs, I think he may have a little bit of increased value based on his price point at 5.6. So those are my two moves. It's Eriksen and Benteke out, Kabay and Costa in, and with a preemptive Kane to Aguero or Ibra next week, whatever I feel like doing.
Yeah, makes sense. For me, I think I'm going to use what was supposed to be the Aguero money and do what I mentioned earlier, which is upgrade from Fair to Lallana. I'm also thinking about maybe minusing to get Smith out, but you know, against Swansea, it's kind of like the Coleman thing. I don't really want either of them anymore, but as I mentioned, you kind of got to stick with the players that you know are going to play, and both of them are definitely going to play. Both of them have pretty good matchups, so I think I'm just kind of stuck with them for now. Also, big test for Eriksen tomorrow, or again, Wednesday, because if he falls a little bit short, then it might be time to move on from him again. We mentioned that he's streaky, and if he doesn't really perform in this one, that means the streak could already be over. And we said the moment we said to buy him, keep an eye on when that decline starts, because he goes from amazing to unownable very quickly. So just kind of keep an eye on that Southampton match. And it's frustrating because you don't want to expect too much against a very good Southampton defense, but just kind of keep an eye on that nonetheless. All right, captain choices, go.
I mean, you got to like Alexis Sanchez this week against Crystal Palace. Palace does like to ship goals, but for me, it's Diego Costa coming back from the suspension against Stoke. We just witnessed what Stoke could do defensively, and it wasn't much. They just gave up 4 to Liverpool. So I think Diego Costa is my choice this week.
Yeah, if I had Costa, I'd probably go that way as well. For me, I think it's going to be Alexis against Crystal Palace. I know Big Sam was brought in to help shore up that defense, but the players aren't really doing him any favors. I think it was Damian Delaney, that gave up the penalty there last week. Joel Ward just isn't the player he was supposed to be. Obviously, they still don't have a left back in place. We both like Scott Dan, but that's not enough. The goalkeeper position continues to be a problematic one for Palace. I think Alexis Sanchez really has a good run here. I probably should have mentioned him earlier, but his next 5 opposing defenses... 18th, 14th, 20th, 12th, 13th.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's real nice. You know, the Walcott thing, like I said, very frustrating that he missed that start because it just adds that doubt again, like right as you start thinking about him again. But for the other Arsenal attackers, I think it's definitely time to start reconsidering. Also, a sneaky thing that I'm not willing to do yet, but I did this with Eriksen and mentioned, I probably should have mentioned that the stats were backing him. Mesut Ozil has kind of turned it around of late, so just kind of keep an eye on that as well.
Good shout.
Woo! That's a shout. All right, well, this is a little bit shorter, but we just had to hit you with some information before we hit this double game week. Then, of course, it will be the FA Cup break, so you won't hear from us for quite some time, but we hope you enjoyed hearing from us. Rob, tell the folks where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie, or you can find my writings on FPL rankings and transfer news and funny things and all that goofiness that I do at Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm the other host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevroff on Twitter. This is obviously the FPL Roundtable, but you can also catch me on the EPL Roundtable. Also, I write for TheEaglesBeak.com, although I'm not sure if I'm going to do that this week or not, since I can't use one of my hands. I've looked into like narrating services, have some family in town for the holidays, was thinking about enlisting one of them maybe. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But regardless, go check out TheEaglesBeak.com. It's a cool site. There's plenty of information about the whole Party You Out and Big Sam and stuff. So it's a good site regardless. Also, Rob and I are going to try to get in another VIP bet video done for the DFS matches. So keep an eye on that. Obviously, that can be a day later because... the slate will not be until Saturday, but be sure to check that out again, VIPBet.com. And also check out our friends at AllInSportsTalk.com and their app, which you can find both in the Google Play Store and in the Apple App Store. All right, Rob, that's it. We talked about fantasy. Now I'm going to go make sure that my finger is still wholly intact. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Make myself a drink and let these painkillers really set in.
Oh, man, you're super not supposed to mix those, as I found out. Going to have a fun decision on New Year's Eve deciding whether or not to try to take pain pills or if I want to drink at all. So tune into the conclusion of that in like 2.5 weeks. All right. Well, in the interim, best of luck to all your fantasy teams. And we're glad you listened to us talking about fantasy and junk. And yeah, catch us next time.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.